Okay, good afternoon. I'm Chris Keneally, Texas State Fire Marshal. I will introduce the other folks as they come up behind me. First off, we just left a briefing with the families here impacted by this tragedy here in West Texas. And we thought that was important to give them some aspects of closure of explaining what happened. And so that has been done. This community has suffered a great tragedy, and us with the State Fire Marshal's Office, ATF, and 28 plus other agencies all working one common goal of to understand what happened to give closure to these families. And while the investigation is ongoing, the scene excavation has been completed. Similar to an archaeological dig, we've been using that term. But I emphasize again, the investigation is still going on. But we have worked very hard, all these agencies collectively, not only to meet the expectations of the citizens here in West, but to exceed them. And certainly, this is one of the worst events amongst first responders. We had 15 people total killed in this incident. 12 of those are responders to the scene. I don't recall a tragedy of recent times in Texas, and certainly one of the worst in American history with first responders. So certainly that hits home close, and this community is very close-knit. The volunteer fire department is a central focus in this community, and the other volunteer fire departments that responded. And we were going to leave no stone unturned to make sure that everything that we could do to determine what caused this fire and ultimately an explosion was reviewed and investigated. With that said, on April 17, 2013, a fire was reported at 7:29 p.m. at the West Fertilizer Plant. At approximately 7:51 p.m., two explosions occurred. The explosions caused damage in a 37-block area, leaving a crater that was 93 feet wide and 10 feet deep. Per the National Fire Protection Association Standard 921 on how to investigate fires and explosions, there are four classifications for fire determinations when looking at the causes. Natural, similar to lightning, if you will, accidental, incendiary, and undetermined. At this time, the State Fire Marshal's Office and the ATF are ruling the cause of this fire is undetermined. The investigation will remain open. An undetermined cause occurs when the cause cannot be proven to an acceptable level of certainty. Again, to an acceptable level of certainty. This could be due to insufficient information, or if multiple causes could not be eliminated. Next up is Robert Champion. He's a special agent in charge for ATF out of the Dallas office, who's been on scene here with us in the State Fire Marshal's Office since the beginning of this event. And he's going to share some other thoughts with you as well. Robert.
Good afternoon. Once again, my name is Robert Champion. I'm the special agent in charge with ATF out of the Dallas Field Division. And I was the agent in charge of the scene examination and excavation that we conducted here for the last 30 days or so. First of all, ATF's hearts go out to the families and the first responders that died in this tragic event. They were doing their job and showed the bravery that day when they attempted to fight that fire. I also want to thank the community of West and the county of McClellan County for the outpouring of support that we have received while we're here. We can't thank you enough for all the support that we have received from them. ATF cannot do this alone. We were called to assist the State Fire Marshal's Office. We have many of our partners back behind me here, which includes the McClellan County Sheriff's Department, the Texas DPS, the McClellan County DA's Office, and the U.S. Attorney's Office. Just to give you some background on what the national response team does, we have responded over the last 30 years to 742 call-outs, give or take. This event here is one of our longest call-outs we've ever had. We've had almost the equivalency of two NRT teams at this location from day one. This ranks up, people ask, with the Oklahoma City bombing, with the First World Trade, with the Pentagon, and some of you may be familiar, when we worked the East Texas Church Fires 3 years ago, we brought in two teams there. But as far as length of time, our average call-outs last 3 to 7 days. As you can see, this one lasted 30 days. I'll go into some particulars and some of what it transpired in this investigation. The State Fire Marshal investigators and ATF agents have eliminated the following causes. Rekindling. There was a talk about a fire that occurred at the plant that day. We have eliminated that. There was not a fire that day, and so rekindling is eliminated. Spontaneous ignition. The 480-volt electrical system. That's what ran the heavy equipment in the plant itself. That has been eliminated. Anhydrous ammonia. Ammonia nitrate. Smoking. There was no smoking going on at the plant at the time. And weather. The following causes could not be eliminated. And that's the 120-volt electrical system. Because they had two systems in the plant. The 480 plus the 120. A golf cart. And I'll let some of the lead investigators discuss that in a minute in regards to the golf cart. Or an intentionally set fire. That has not been eliminated yet. Now, during the cause and origin investigation, separate information was received regarding an individual being in possession of a destructive device. On Thursday, May 9th, 2013, Bryce Reed was arrested on federal charges of possession of a destructive device. At this time, authorities will not speculate whether the possession of the unregistered destructive device has any connection to the West Fertilizer plant explosion on April 17th, 2013. I repeat, again, we will not speculate at this time. We cannot and will not take any questions regarding Bryce Reed due to the current state, federal, as well investigations, as well as the pending judicial process. Only the scene investigation is complete, but the remainder of the investigation continues. So there's a sensitivity there to what we're doing right now. But at this time, to go into more particulars about what was found on the site itself, I'm going to introduce the lead investigators for both the State Fire Marshal's Office, Kelly Kistner, and Brian Hoback, who is our National Response Team Leader for the Western Region.
Good afternoon. We wanted to cover some of the timeline and some of the details related to the investigation with you and share where the scene examination is at now that it's been completed. Just for some clarification, the original fire was reported at 7:29 p.m. on April 17th. The fire department was dispatched at 7:32 p.m. They went en route to the West Fertilizer plant at 7:33 p.m. and arriving on the scene at 7:38. At 7:41, they requested the assistance of additional fire departments. And at 7:51, the explosion happened. From the beginning of this investigation, the ATF, the State Fire Marshal's Office, the McLennan County Sheriff's Office, McLennan County District Attorney's Office, and all the other law enforcement agencies that were involved have maintained that this is a criminal investigation. Investigators to this day continue their work under the authority of two state district court evidentiary warrants. The explosion itself caused damage in a 37-block area, with the furthest piece of evidence being located 2.5 miles away. Most of the debris was found within a 3,000-foot radius, just over a half a mile. The crater, as was previously mentioned by the fire marshal, was 93 feet across and 10 feet deep. Investigators have combed through piece by piece over the past 30 days between 14 and 15 acres on the site of the West Fertilizer Plant. In addition to the origin and cause investigation, the State Fire Marshal's Office, by statutory requirements, has also been conducting the firefighter line of duty death investigation. That line of duty death investigation is to take a look at the incidents or the involvement that led to the death of the 12 individuals who responded to the fire at the plant. The line of duty death investigation report will take several months from now to be finalized and be released. One of the first things that investigators did after remediating the hazards that were on the scene is began to account for all of the people who were missing. The team that you see behind you, through multiple investigators, were able to eliminate the missing persons list to zero. At this point, there are no unaccounted for individuals. Also, throughout this investigation, there have been two teams working together to help and determine the origin and cause of the fire. The first team has been the scene examination team. The second team has been the interview and leads team. And every day, multiple times, those two teams were in constant communication, sharing information back and forth. As a result, the origin of the fire has been determined to be in the fertilizer and seed building in the northern area, in what's referred to as the seed room. As the fire marshal mentioned, there are four classifications per NFPA 921 that a fire can be determined. Those are natural, accidental, incendiary, and undetermined. The cause of this fire is undetermined. The undetermined cause, again, as the fire marshal has already stated, occurs when the cause cannot be proven to an acceptable level of certainty, or there's insufficient information, or if multiple causes could not be eliminated. You've heard the causes that have been eliminated. Mr. Champion addressed those. And the causes that have not been eliminated are the 120-volt electrical system in the building, the golf cart, and an intentionally set fire. So that you know, the fire did cause two explosions. We had one smaller explosion and one larger explosion. The factors that will contribute to an ammonium nitrate explosion are heat, shock, containment, and contamination. Those are the four things that we've worked off of. In this particular case, we know that we had a fire before the explosion, and as the temperature increased, the pressure increased. As that happened and the ammonium nitrate began to change states, the sensitivity to shock increased. Due to the nature of the elevated temperatures and pressures, a portion of the ammonium nitrate was more susceptible to shock. Falling debris and equipment impacted the sensitive portion of the ammonium nitrate. That caused the first explosion. That explosion provided sufficient heat and shock to cause the remaining majority of the ammonium nitrate to explode. Based on work that has been done at the scene, based on work conducted by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, ATF, and the investigative team, the amount of ammonium nitrate that exploded has been estimated to be between 28 and 34 tons. An additional 20 to 30 tons was in the building, but did not explode. Additionally, there were 100 tons approximately in a rail car that was a victim of the explosion. The rail car did not explode. Approximately, that totals up to 150 tons that were on the site at the time of the incident, which is less than the 270 tons reported on the Tier 2 report. To put this in a different perspective, the ammonium nitrate that exploded was equivalent to approximately 15 to 20,000 pounds of TNT. Should also be noted that in reference to the explosion, water that was used during the firefighting activities did not contribute to the cause of the explosion. In reference to water, there were also some questions about the city's water system. It should be noted that at the time of the fire, the water system was operating in its normal mode. It was not compromised. You've heard us refer to that this scene has been worked similar to an archaeological dig. You've heard Brian say many times as we've gone through these interviews, it's also like taking that large puzzle, putting it on the coffee table and trying to put the pieces together, and you just don't know if all the pieces are there when you start to put the puzzle together. As a result of that type of work, some of the things that were accomplished is that over 300,000 pounds of corn from one silo were sifted by hand in order to collect evidence. Also, a full silo of Milo and another empty silo were examined. Excavation of the site included digging out the 12,000 square foot fertilizer and seed building, the office building, and the scale house. We then conducted reconstruction of the fertilizer and seed building and the electrical systems, both of them, that serviced the plant. The crater was completely excavated. That process included a 3D rendering that was conducted by ATF's mapping unit and also by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. ATF has spent approximately $500,000 in heavy equipment rental to make this operation possible. Their total expenditures to make this investigation and this operation possible are in excess of $1 million. In addition, between the ATF and the State Fire Marshal's Office, 104 personnel were committed. That number does not include the vast resources that were committed by McLennan County through the Sheriff's Office, the DA's Office, also by the Texas Department of Public Safety through their Highway Patrol Division, their Criminal Investigation Division, the Texas Rangers, Texas Parks and Wildlife, and all of the other agencies that were here. Just between ATF and the SFMO, over 20,000 personnel hours have been extended and committed to this investigation. Within that, 280 leads were followed up on, and over 500 people were identified and spoken to. Additional resources that have been brought to the scene or activities that have been conducted include forensic mapping, chemical analysis, forensic audits, forensic computer audits and support, aerial photography, evidence examination, computer modeling, reconstruction of key components, and other activities that would support those main areas. The expertise on this scene has been immense. There's been certified fire investigators through the ATF and the State Fire Marshal's Office, certified explosive specialists, explosive enforcement officers, criminal investigators, chemists, electrical engineers, and fire protection engineers. Over 250 pieces of evidence were collected. As was stated early on, this investigation is still open and ongoing. The State Fire Marshal's Office, the ATF, the McLennan County Sheriff's Office, the McLennan County District Attorney's Office, and the Texas Department of Public Safety will maintain agents and investigators in West to continue this investigation. And be assured that each agency will continue to provide the staffing necessary to complete the investigation. Remember, only the scene examination is complete at this time. At this point, we will take questions one at a time. Go ahead, Jenny. We will not at this time. This is an ongoing criminal investigation, and that information will remain protected under the applicable laws since we do have an ongoing criminal investigation. Go ahead, Naman.
How much time elapsed between a smaller burst explosion and 5 seconds? I'm just saying, people, based on your interviews, did they register those explosions as separate explosions or one larger?
They were milliseconds apart, and most people would register it as one explosion. Some of the other data that helped with that was the fact that at the Lake Whitney monitoring station for the USGS, they had two events on the seismograph. And so that was part of what was used along with the video and along with some of the witnesses and some of the photos that we had in the back. Go ahead, sir.
picked out a number of things you ruled out. Can you say definitively if you have ruled out any bomb-making material or components?
At this point, we have not ruled out an intentionally set fire, and we will not go into any of the details for evidentiary value on what has not been ruled out or ruled in as a result of that investigation. In the red shirt, go ahead, sir.
The golf cart was found on site.
We know that the golf cart was in the seed room. That's where it was normally parked. We've only found two pieces. Despite earlier articles that went out today, it was not a brake pedal, it was a brake pad, and we found an axle. That's all that is left of the golf cart, and that's one of the reasons that it cannot be eliminated, because there's not enough information at this point to eliminate it. Go ahead, the shirt.
Something had the military have that, and there was a report that there was that golf cart.
You want to address that one?
Go ahead.
There is a history of golf carts actually starting fires. They're operated by batteries. They'll hold those charges, and they have had failures, and there's some historical data out there that you guys can check out to see where there were recalls. So that's why that has not been eliminated. Some of the golf carts are battery powered. And they have a history. There is some data on that, historical data, where they have caused a fire. And because we have not found all the pieces of this particular golf cart, we cannot eliminate that golf cart.
How have they caused a fire in the past?
They'll hold a charge, and when the battery system and the capacitors fail, they'll ignite whatever the closest materials are around them. And you have to prove that. You have to prove that in order to say that the golf cart caused the fire. We don't have enough pieces of the golf cart, nor do we have enough pieces of the actual building and the materials that would have been around the golf cart to eliminate that.
The owner of the golf cart?
Hold on one. We can't go there yet. Go ahead, ma'am.
I didn't catch all of the question, but I think I caught part of it. It's a battery-operated golf cart. Which electrical system are you referring to? The 120 system to the fertilizer and seed building is the system that we have not eliminated.
Be the entire system. Go ahead, down front.
How much ammonium nitrate was on the site?
Let me just go back through the numbers. The question was the numbers on the ammonium nitrate. We know that based on the studies that have been done by multiple agencies that the amount that exploded was 28 to 34 tons. There was an additional 20 to 30 tons that was in the building that did not explode. And in the rail car, there was approximately 100 tons. That range that I just gave you, about the middle of that is 150 tons. That's why we went with approximately 150. And so that's where we're at with the amounts. All right. Sir, in the back. How was ammonium nitrate stored? Go ahead, I'll let you.
It was the question, how was the ammonium nitrate stored? It was stored in wooden bins.
Behind Jenny, and then I'll come back to you, Jenny. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Basically, because of the way it was stored in wooden bins, and the construction of this particular facility had those in a column, basically, and that's how that ammonium nitrate was stored. So it was kind of stored in a. If you're looking at the bin, it's laid out like this. It's filled from the top. That's the best way I can describe without showing pictures.
Brett, hold on just a second. Let me get Jenny, and then I'll come back to you. Go ahead. We're not going to talk about what we can do going forward. We just want to focus on the investigation. Those will be post-action things that will be looked at. Several things will be. Brett, go ahead.
What is your best information in terms of the security of that building and what caused the pressure to reach the point that it would explode, understanding that ammonium nitrate has to reach a certain temperature because it is enclosed? Were the doors closed? Was it sealed?
Go ahead. You got it.
We're not going to talk about evidentiary matters. Whether or not the building was secure and all would be an evidentiary matter.
Was it vacuum packed? Was it tightly sealed? Was it open?
I'm not going to go into the details of the construction just for purposes here, just so you understood how it was stored in wooden bins, and we have the configuration, but we're not going to go into the specifics.
Hold on a second. Go ahead in the back. You've had your hand up a while.
So this is an ongoing investigation. What does that
mean? Additional details surrounding the investigation will be followed up on, and we're not going to go into any specific details about what will be done, but there will be work that will be done related to the facts of this case. Go ahead. I know you've been waiting.
The distance from where the fire was to where the ammonium nitrate was stored?
It was a very short distance. The ammonium nitrate bin bumps up to the seed room, and so we know that through the construction, the fire and the size of the fire, the heat that was produced would have compromised that bin in order to raise the temperature.
Did you guys prepare the families that this undetermined cause could very well be the best answer they get?
Go ahead, I'll let you.
We did, and we did it on purpose because we didn't want them to be surprised. We wanted the families to actually hear from law enforcement about what our determinations were.
We briefed the families earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, no, I understand. That's all I was asking. I'm just wondering, could this very well be the best explanation we get, that it's one of these three things, and then no matter what you do or for the next few months?
The families were told why the ammonium nitrate exploded. We can't tell them, as we cannot tell you, how the fire started.
Go ahead in the back. As the same question came up with the fire code, we're not going to get into the regulatory side or address any of those issues. We're focused clearly on the scene examination today, and that information, if needed, will come at a much later date. Go ahead in the black shirt back here. Again, we're not going to get into the codes. We're not going to get into any of that at this time. That will come down the road. Go ahead, ma'am. The 120-volt system is much like what you would have in your house, and so that 120-volt system powered everything else, whether it was the receptacles, the light switches, a clock, a refrigerator, a computer, and that system... from its point of origination on the property, fed all of those buildings that were out there, and because as a result of the explosion, not all those pieces are available for an examination. Jenny?
So the public at large, is there a message here that ammonium nitrate should not be stored in wooden bins?
No.
Go ahead, Brian.
That's exactly what we don't want to talk about. We don't know the answer to that question right now, and we're not going to address that. We're here to address the origin and cause.
All right, one more question, and I had the question in the back right here. Go ahead. All of the agencies involved are working together, and so with that, I will let you know that there's great teamwork here. You see everybody behind us, and so this will be a unified effort. Folks, we appreciate it. If you have any other questions, go through the PIO.